Now, AEW Rampage, the First Dance Review.
Are you ready?
With a monster who's had some pipe bombs of his own.
Pipe bomb.
The Power Monster.
It finally happened. All day, people have been waiting. This was the day that everybody was all excited about. August 20th, United Center. This was going to be a landmark, game-changing event for All Elite Wrestling. They were going to get their biggest audience ever packed into the building in Chicago. What did they have in store? What surprise did Tony Khan have in store that he would book Chicago 2 weeks before they're already running Chicago? Gee, I wonder. I wonder what it could be. All of the waiting, all of the rumors, all of the speculation, over 7 years since we last saw this man in the Royal Rumble match. That's the last time we saw this man on a major professional wrestling television show. A lot of fans of his very disappointed that he just disappeared. Would he ever come back? If so, where would he end up? Would he go back to where he was before? Would he go somewhere else? 7 years. People have waited for the moment that they got here on television tonight. All the doubters, too. Right up until showtime, I was still getting messages from people. Oh, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. You and all these people are going to have egg on your faces. If it doesn't happen, or they swerve you and they try to get heat and they send somebody else out there, oh, Solomonster, it's not going to happen. Maybe it's all big swerve. Tony Khan made it very clear. The people who were going to be in the building tonight would not leave that building disappointed. They were not packing the building with 14 or 15,000 people to piss them off and send them home unhappy. He is smart enough to understand that is not a wise business decision to make. They all but came out and told you that he was going to be on the show tonight. They did everything in their power to tell you without even saying his name. They went right up into the line without stepping over it. They wanted that buzz. They wanted that speculation. They were counting on it. They were betting on it. I have messages from friends of mine who haven't even watched wrestling in the last 5, 6, 7 years who are asking me about CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. I have a couple of friends who, once they left, you know, when Bryan retired and when Punk walked out, that was it. So did they. So there are people out there who were genuinely excited to see what we saw on this show tonight, and AEW did not waste any time. CM Punk is back. CM Punk is back. CM Punk is All Elite. And what we witnessed tonight on Rampage with the passion and the enthusiasm and the love from that Chicago crowd was, in my opinion, the greatest professional wrestling return that we have ever seen. We've seen a lot of returns over the years, not many of them from people who were gone for 7 years. We have had certain people who have come back after long absences, retirements, they unretire, but to me, the way this segment went down tonight was pitch perfect. I had goosebumps watching that segment tonight. And I wasn't even the biggest CM Punk fan in the world. Yeah, I was a fan of his work. I think he had a lot of great matches. I think that he made television a lot more interesting back then. Yeah, I'm a fan of Punk's, but I'm not like one of these diehards who lives and dies by everything he does and says, you know, oh, I got tears streaming down my face. But it was an emotional moment. And I think when you witness something like what we saw tonight and the way that crowd erupted, it just makes the hair on your neck stand up. It's those types of moments that make wrestling so much fun. We don't get them very often, but when we do, it makes wrestling so much fun to watch. And it reminds you, I think, it reminds me anyway, of one of the reasons why I started watching wrestling in the first place. It's moments like that tonight that really make it special and really make it all worthwhile. And when they're done right, there's nothing better. So all of the talk and speculation about how are they going to do this, oh, they should send MJF or Kenny Omega out there to get mega heat. that would have been the wrong way to go, because you only have one opportunity for a return like this. This is somebody who's been gone for 7 years. And yeah, you can use it for a joke, you can use it for heat, but why do that? Let the moment just happen. Don't overthink it. Just do exactly what they did tonight. They didn't overcomplicate things. They opened the show, they introduced the announcers, they cut to a wide shot of the crowd, and they gave the people exactly what they wanted. And it was one of the greatest segments that I have ever seen. They were sold out at the United Center in Chicago. The announced crowd tonight, 15,316. And that will be topped next month at Arthur Ashe Stadium when they come to New York for their debut. But as of tonight, and for at least the next month, this was the largest AEW crowd in history at the United Center. They also crashed ProWrestlingTees.com. They crashed Shop AEW. Everyone's going to look for the new Punk t-shirt that he debuted on TV tonight. I don't know if it's back up by now, but at least as of a few minutes ago, if you tried to go to either of those websites, you were not able to do so. So I'm going to assume that they sold some shirts. Not bad for a t-shirt company. I want to know what you guys thought of this show tonight. What did you think of the way that AEW booked and handled the CM Punk debut? Would you have done it differently? Were you a fan? Did you not like it? I want to hear from you guys and everybody who supports the channel. We got a lot of support coming in even before I went live tonight. So I want to say thank you in advance to everybody who does drop a super chat tonight. As you guys know, I will read each and every single one of your messages, and I want to give a very special shout out to two people who joined the channel as brand new channel members earlier tonight, long before the show went on the air. Cherry Wave and Luke D. Iron Fist Cage, our two newest channel members. They just joined tonight, and I want everybody to welcome them. I'm sure they're in the chat joining us tonight. You guys, let me tell you something. You guys, with all the streams we've done so far, you have rocked it with the new channel memberships, and it could not come at a better time, because I just had a brand new hour-long members-only Q&A video that went up earlier this week. So all you new channel members that may not be aware of it, when you're done here, you got an hour. You can go back and watch me answering all of your questions over an hour's worth, and there's going to be more videos like that in the future. That's for all channel members, regardless of which tier that you're on. But enough about that. I know you guys want to get into Rampage here, as I do. Let me just extend a thank you to everybody who is joining us here tonight. We got a lot of people here. We got over 2,000 people and counting. I'm amped up, man. I'm amped up. You know, one of the things about Rampage that I like, and this is only week two, but I said this last week after week one, I love the hour format. It's quick. They're in and out. It doesn't overstay its welcome. They can only do a handful of matches, and when they have a big angle or they have a big promo like they did tonight, that's the perfect formula. You get one segment like we had with Punk, you give us a few matches, and you get out of there. So Rampage so far, 2 weeks in, has been an easy watch. We'll see if that continues. The announced team tonight, they brought in Jim Ross for the occasion. JR, Excalibur, Mark Henry, who again, I enjoyed Mark Henry on commentary. He's new at this. This was only week two. He spoke more now than he did last week. I think he only called one match last week before they sent him to the back for interview duty. And Taz joined them as well. Chris Jericho was not there. He was licking his wounds after his loss to MJF on Dynamite on Wednesday. And I was thinking, oh, this is great. Jericho's going to take some time off. He's going to go away, which is what he should do. Go away. Go away for a little bit. But then they made the comment, don't worry, Chris Jericho is going to be back in the booth next week. Unfortunately. But the show opened with the familiar sounds of Cult of Personality playing over the PA system. It's been so long since we've heard, I love that song. It's been so long since we've heard that song. And as you would imagine, Chicago erupted. It's one of those nights where I really regret not being in the building. I'm jealous of everybody who had the chance to go to the show to be there live for a moment like this. I've been in the building for a lot of really fun matches and some you know returns on like Raw the night after WrestleMania. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be in the building for that stuff. Cult of Personality hits and out comes CM Punk. And he kneels down on the stage just to soak it all in. Again, it's been 7 years since this guy has been in front of a crowd like this. And as I've said before, being in Chicago, being in that building, he was in the United Center for the very first event ever in that building, which was SummerSlam in 1994 with the Bret Owen cage match. He was in that building. So I'm sure for him, on so many levels, it was a special moment for a lot of different reasons, because he hasn't had anything like this in so long, but also being in that building. So he was soaking it all in, the announcers, and this is what I was hoping they would do, and I'm really happy they did this. They laid out. They weren't talking over each other. They weren't talking over the moment. They just let it breathe. They sat back. They shut up. I can imagine Tony Khan in the back telling them all, zip it. Let the moment speak for itself. No need to say anything. The crowd will be your soundtrack. And it was great. It was fantastic. Jim Ross eventually did speak. He called the reaction Jordan-esque, being in Chicago, especially in that building. And they're showing the crowd, people, there are people crying in the crowd. You have people who are just emotional in that building. I mean, it's his home market, so obviously you're going to have a big, you know, fan base for Punk in Chicago. But Punk dove into the crowd as he was walking down to the ring, which I'm sure pleased the security guard there to no end. That's what he did in Madison Square Garden the night that he won the WWE Championship for the second time from Alberto Del Dipshit. After he won the belt, he dove into the crowd. And the security people carried him out of the crowd, and then he went onto the other side and he did the same thing over there. Same thing Eddie Guerrero did after he won the title from Brock Lesnar. So Punk dove into the crowd, and he came out of it. You could see the tears in his eyes. His eyes were welled up. He was glassy-eyed. Unless he was concussed, he was glassy-eyed because, you know, he was all emotional. And, you know, you can understand it. Obviously, you get that kind of reaction. Not too many human beings on this earth ever in their lives get to walk out and get that kind of reaction, right? If you're a celebrity, if you're a musician. But none of us can really relate to what that's like. So you never really know. You can go out there and you can start bawling like a baby, or you can go out there and you can hold it together. He looked like he was on the cusp of not being able to hold it together. But thankfully for his sake, he was able to do so. So then Punk grabbed a microphone, which is something that he's done a time or two in his day. In fact, the reason he's such a big star today, still after all these years, is because of a lot of the promos that he cut on that very microphone. Those promos are what got him over to that next level in WWE. When he dropped the so-called pipe bomb, which is an overused expression, but, you know, the pipe bomb promo and all the promos throughout that whole summer of Punk and beyond, that's really where he made his mark. That's really where he got himself over. Josh Vlogs. This became a sound-off superstar. Welcome, Josh. Welcome to the family. So they cut to a break. Excalibur is telling us, don't go anywhere. We're only going to be gone for 90 seconds. When you come back, CM Punk is going to have something to say. I'm going to be very interested to see these numbers when they come out on Monday. To see, without announcing him in advance directly, and then opening the show with him and going to break and, you know, keeping him out there for 20 minutes. Very curious to see the numbers for this show. Punk says, you guys really know how to make a kid feel like Britt Baker in Pittsburgh. And he said, we're winging this right now. He didn't plan for what he was going to say. He doesn't have any prepared remarks. He didn't think about what he would want to, you know, tell the audience. He said he had to go out there and feel it. He didn't know what it was going to feel like to go out there after so long away from it all. He just wanted to go out there and react. And the words would just come. I mean, obviously, he had his bullet points. He knew the points he wanted to make, including the challenge that he was out there to issue, which we'll get to. But he said they had a lot to cover. They weren't going to be able to get it all out there tonight. But the good news is he's got the time going forward on Wednesdays. He's got the time going forward on Fridays. He's not going anywhere. He said CM Punk is back. So the most important thing that he's going to say is about personal choices that he made in terms of stepping away for so long. He knows there are going to be people who feel betrayed or let down or disappointed that he just sort of up and left the way that he did. And it sounded like he was going to apologize for it, but he explained, he goes, he never would have gotten healthy physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, mentally. He never would have gotten healthy staying in the same place that got him sick in the first place. You know all about those stories. All you got to do is go back and listen to the podcast he did with Colt Cabana. And he lays it all out there, physically and mentally. But physically, what a wreck he was there at the end of his WWE run. And, you know, we kind of joke still about, you know, the Z-Packs and all that. But he was in rough shape. Whoever you want to put the blame on there, the fact is, he didn't look healthy. You look back on it now, you look at him today, you look at him back then, and you could see the difference. The guy actually had life in his face tonight. He looked like a healthy human being, and that wasn't the case at the end of his WWE run. It was quite literally killing this guy because he was running so hard, and he had injuries, and he had the infection. So he had to just get away from it all. And then he asked everybody if he could tell them a story. Story time with CM Punk. And he said, you know, it's getting hot in here. Let me take this off. And he took his hoodie off and he revealed his brand new t-shirt, which is very, very similar to the colors and the design of his old WWE t-shirt that he actually debuted the night he wrestled John Cena at Money in the Bank in 2011, which is probably the reason that pro wrestling tees crashed tonight. Then he sits down cross-legged in the middle of the ring. He said, before, he felt like he had to leave. But he said he didn't want to, but he knew he couldn't stay. What he was referring to was not WWE. He was referring to Ring of Honor. When he left Ring of Honor in 2005, this is the way that he felt. He felt he had to leave. He talked about coming out in ROH with tears in his eyes as he walked to the ring for his final match in ROH. He said he cried because he knew he was leaving a place that he loved. And it was a home. He knew that he wasn't, it was not going to be an easy journey for him in the place that he was going to. And so that's why he was crying when he left Ring of Honor. Kind of like the way a lot of the NXT talents these days will cry before they go to the main roster. That's the way Aleister Black cried and Ricochet cried at that NXT TakeOver show when you knew it was their final night against the Viking Raiders. They had tears in their eyes when they were getting that reaction. I think it was in Brooklyn because they knew. They knew they were headed for the main roster. He said, August 13, 2005, I left professional wrestling. August 20th, 2021, I'm back. And the place popped huge. He said he's back because there's a hell of a lot of young talent he wishes that he was surrounded by 10 years ago. You know, and I know some people are going to take issue with some of the comments that he made here. You know, why is he healing on the entire WWE roster? You know, there were young guys in the company that he was friendly with and working with at that time. I don't necessarily think he was throwing shade at those people. I think he was kind of generalizing here. But again, look, you can understand. He still harbors ill will, I'm sure, towards certain people in that company. They fired him on his wedding day. If you had to deal with people like Johnny Ace, you would harbor a lot of ill will too. I don't know anybody who likes Johnny Ace. Anybody you ever read interviews or watch shoot interviews or hear from people that have worked with him, that have, you know, worked in the company when he was above them in talent relations. Does anybody like Johnny Ace other than Brie and Nikki Bella's mother who married the fucking guy? Does anybody actually like this guy? I don't think I've ever heard from anybody who has said, I like John Laurinaitis. So you can understand why he, you know, might still not be so fond of some of the people who work for that company. He said, I'm back because I want to work with that young talent that had the same passion that I had. And then he said he's also got a couple of scores to settle. Although he didn't say exactly who those scores were to be settled with. But you look at the AEW roster, Chris Jericho is somebody who he's feuded with. John Moxley was with the Shield at the time that was toward the end of his run, actually, where he and Brian were, you know, kind of going against the Shield. So Moxley could be somebody he was referencing. Of course, the first name I thought of and the first name a lot of people probably thought of was, we're looking at you, Colt Cabana. I'm very curious if they had a meeting of the minds or if they just sort of steer clear of each other. Just out of curiosity, I would wonder if they have cleared the air or if they're just simply going to ignore each other and pretend, you know, they don't exist and just like two passing ships in the night when they're backstage, they just sort of walk by each other. It's got to be awkward, though, no? All the legal shit that went down between them. I believe all of it has since been resolved. I don't know if Colt Cabana still has any legal bills pending, you know, after the lawsuits and everything. But those are the names that jumped out at me. So already teasing that there may be some past issues that are going to come up with some of these talents on TV. But then he called out Darby Allin. And he looks up into the rafters and the spotlight shows Sting right at home in the rafters up there with Darby Allin. And Punk looks up and he says, Darby is good. He goes, like every other person here in Chicago, Darby is tough. He said, I'm going to help Darby. There's nothing more dangerous that he could do than wrestle CM Punk. And Punk said that he would see everybody, including Darby, September 5th at All Out in Chicago. He said, I'm back. And one last thing, on your way out of the United Center, be sure to pick up a free ice cream bar on your way out of the building. And everybody popped and they played his music to end the segment. This took up the first 20 minutes of the show, which was smart. You know, on the stream last night, we were talking about potential ideas, how to debut him. Do you do it at the end of the show? Does he run out there? Realistically, 7 years away, his first appearance, you're going to want to put a microphone in his hand. People are going to want to hear from him. They're going to want to hear why he left and why he's back. And it was smart to do it this way because that way you don't take away from the other matches that are on the show. Otherwise, it'll just be constant CM Punk chants throughout the entire show waiting for him to come out. So it was smart of them, I think, to do it the way they did. Don't beat around the bush. People have been waiting for this. Just get right to it. And you want to do it at the beginning and not at the end. Because if you have a hard stop on this show like they do at 11 o'clock, you don't want to run out of time with CM Punk in the ring. So you put Punk out there early. If his segment runs late, you know, sorry, Jade. Sorry, Daniel Garcia. You'll have to get some time cut from your match. So I thought that was smart of them to book it that way. We got the Punk and Darby announcement. That's the match I figured it would be. I said, you know, the teases that Darby has been dropping, it seemed pretty obvious. Darby Allin was going to get the match with CM Punk in Chicago. It'll be babyface against babyface. Although I guess Punk will be the ultimate babyface in that match. But that's your main event. You know, when it comes to All Out on September 5th, Christian Cage is going to challenge Kenny Omega for the AEW World Championship. That is not your main event. The main event is CM Punk against Darby Allin. Because CM Punk's first match back in 7.5 years in Chicago on pay-per-view is the main event. So that is the main event of the show, which I guess, you know, maybe that would explain why they're doing Christian and Omega, which I think on its own is not strong enough to be an all-out main event. As much as I really liked their match on Rampage last week, and I think Christian is very good, now it kind of makes sense. They lost Hangman Page. I'm sure they wanted Hangman Page in that match. He's having a kid. That's more important. We get it. He's out of the picture. They were put in a position where they had to find a substitute. So what do? So they chose Christian. When they knew they had Punk coming in, they knew that was their main event. You know, it all makes sense. So you can do that title match underneath, just like they did at Double or Nothing. They did Orange Cassidy and Kenny Omega, right? That wasn't the main event. Stadium Stampede was. Your main event here is going to be CM Punk against Darby Allin. And for Darby, I think it's a great match. I like the pairing. I think it'll be a fun match. And Darby doesn't lose anything by losing the match. Because Punk is not going to lose his first match back. I think that would be ridiculous. I think it would be great if he wants to, in the long term, put over some of the younger talent. But in his first match back, he should not be losing. Darby loses nothing by losing to CM Punk. So I think it's a great attraction for that show. I thought overall this segment, this return, the way they handled this whole thing was fucking fantastic. And it is one of those special moments that is going to be remembered for years to come. It'll be one of those moments that is replayed years from now because let's be honest, you know, big wrestling returns were always fun to go back and watch. When The Rock came back on Raw back in 2012 and got that big reaction. He also was gone, I think, for about 7 years. And he got that great, I don't remember what city they were in, but he got that great reaction. Those are the moments that make pro wrestling fun, right? Or if somebody runs out to the ring in their big return, they haven't been seen for a while, they do some kind of big run-in. We saw that with Austin so many times over the years. I mean, those are the fun moments. But it only works if it's somebody that the people care about. The people still care about CM Punk. For all the people who doubted whether or not CM Punk has any kind of value in the eyes, you know, left in the eyes of the fans, and I get that it was Chicago, but this, it would have been like this in any market. You do this in New York, you do this in LA, you do this in Boston, you do this in Orlando, in Houston. It's going to get a big reaction because CM Punk was in wrestling a big name. Was he the biggest name in history? No. He was not Hulk Hogan. He was not, you know, at that level of notoriety and success. But he was a big name in wrestling during a period where they didn't have that many really big stars. He got over, really in spite of a lot of the shit that he went through, he got himself over. Very much like Daniel Bryan, how the fans gravitated to him. And guess what? He's up next. Punk is back. We still got Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson is going to be on his way in, probably in New York City next month. That's going to be the next one to look forward to. I hope they have Final Countdown ready to play. Now we got to see how they handle his debut. But I very much look forward to the familiar sounds of Final Countdown and the crowd chanting along to the music. So again, AEW really lucked out here. They got very lucky because they have these free agent names that are out there. To fans, you know, if you've been a fan over the last decade or so, these are the big names from the last 10, 12 years. And you're in a unique position where they happen to be available. They happen to, you know, want to come into your company and work with some of the newer faces and work with some of the younger faces. We don't know how the Adam Cole situation is going to resolve. Is he going to leave? Is he going to stay? Because if he leaves, to me, he's a shoo-in for AEW. I don't know why you wouldn't want to have somebody like that on your roster. And there already are teases from AEW. There was something in the Observer this week that this is not the end of the big surprises for AEW. So it's an exciting time, I think, if you are a fan of this company who, you know, whether it's these big crowds and these big buildings they're running or the new names and some of the other new faces that have debuted as well. It's an exciting time to be a fan. But Punk really was that one big get. And it could not have paid off any better than it did tonight. Jurassic Express against Private Party. This was a match in the Tag Team Eliminator Tournament. This is a tournament that was announced on Dynamite this past Wednesday. The winners of this tournament are going to go on to challenge the Young Bucks at All Out on September 5th in a steel cage for the tag team titles to keep the riffraff out. Of course, I'm referring to Brandon Cutler and the Good Brothers and all the usual dum-dums who interfere in their matches. I'm as sick of the interference as you all are, but the cage match stipulation makes sense. Hopefully this doesn't continue on after All Out because I'm already tired of it, all the interference. It's a little ridiculous. But we had this semifinal match here tonight. We had the Young Bucks did come out to watch the match. They were on the ramp watching the action with Brandon Cutler. They pulled up a chair to watch. They'd gone to a break. They come back, and Jungle Boy, he was taking a beating all throughout the commercial break. And he hit one of the members of Private Party with a drop kick. He ended up getting the hot tag to Luchasaurus, who came in and cleaned house. Jurassic Express, they went to go for a... This is the big spot of the match. They went to go for a stack superplex in the corner. And the... I believe it was Isaiah Cassidy ended up, who was on the top rope. He turned it into a Canadian Destroyer. I don't know how they pulled this off. I always cringe when they do these moves because I feel like one of them is going to break a leg or break their neck or something, but it looked impressive. So he hits the Canadian Destroyer to Jungle Boy off of Luchasaurus' shoulders. Down goes Jungle Boy. He gets a near fall. Mark Quinn follows that up with a shooting star press on Luchasaurus out on the floor. Back inside, Private Party go for Silly String. But the babyfaces counter that into a cutter for a near fall. Matt Hardy is out there. He tries to distract the referee. And Isaiah Cassidy almost got the pin with a roll-up on Jungle Boy. Pulled the tights, but he kicked out. And Private Party went for Gin and Juice, which is not... This isn't exactly Gin and Juice, but this is one of those Solid Monster screwdrivers I mentioned the other day. I think I got some gin downstairs somewhere. We'll save that for SummerSlam tomorrow. Jungle Boy counters that with a spinning DDT, and Jurassic Express hit the double team power bomb on Mark Quinn for the win. So this was a very good match, and Jurassic Express now move on. They are going to believe the finals of this tournament will happen on Rampage next Friday. So they're going to have the other semifinal match this upcoming Wednesday on Dynamite, which is the Varsity Blondes and I believe the Lucha Bros. And the winner of that will meet Jurassic Express next Friday. I said on my Dynamite stream the other night, it's got to be either Lucha Bros or Jurassic Express. I'm thinking they do the rematch with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus in a cage this time. Do they do the tag team title change? Yeah, I could see it. I was kind of holding out hope they would wait until the Arthur Ashe show and do it with Santana and Ortiz, but they kind of have me thinking that we might get a title change at All Out. But I think that will be the finals of the tournament. We have Jade Cargill, or she calls herself That Bitch, one-on-one against Kiera Hogan. This really wasn't much of a match. I don't think it was a time issue. I think that this was meant to be pretty much a glorified squash regardless. Hogan got a little bit of offense in, but Jade caught her with a pump kick, got her up in the double chicken wing, and was sort of carrying her around the ring, showing her off like a trophy. And then she dropped her face first, basically the glam slam, and Jade Cargill picks up the win. So, you know, not much of a match, really just something meant to get Jade Cargill over as a monster. For all the talk about the new signings, yeah, I was just talking about Punk and Danielson, and you got Malakai Black, right, and Andrade. All the talk about these new signings and these new potential signings, the women's division looks like it's getting a boost. It's getting a boost. They've got names like Thunder Rosa now who are under a full-time deal with AEW. Kiera Hogan has been making appearances. I wouldn't be surprised if she ends up being signed, if she isn't already. Jamie Hayter, we're going to get to see her in action on Dynamite this Wednesday. We'll see what she can do in there with Red Velvet. Ruby Soho, the former Ruby Riott, very likely on her way in. I think they're doing a women's casino battle royal at All Out. That would be a perfectly fine place, I think, for her to debut as the final entrant in that battle royal. So they have some names, they have some talent, real talent coming in, and I think that this could be a nice shot in the arm for the women's division. So don't sleep on that division. It's not just about all the men that are coming in. The women's division needs a boost too, and it looks like they're getting one. I don't know where Riho is. Maybe Riho will be back soon. Who knows? Riho comes back and she disappears. She comes back and she disappears. I'm sure she'll be back soon enough. The main event was Jon Moxley one-on-one against Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia is one of those younger talents on the roster who you could tell they have high hopes for. He hasn't been around on AEW television here for very long, but he's been put in some pretty prominent positions on TV the last few weeks. And so here he had the main event of a pretty important show in front of the biggest crowd in AEW history, and they put him in the ring with Jon Moxley. So Moxley starts pretty strong. Right out of the gate, backdrop suplex, some kicks. Garcia counters, going after Moxley's legs. And Moxley counters that with a cross arm breaker. Garcia comes back with some hammer fists, but walks into a boot and a couple of German suplexes. Moxley goes for a third German, but Garcia countered that into an ankle lock, and Moxley had to get to the ropes to force the break. And that was about all the offense, really, that this kid got in. Moxley went for a paradigm shift, which got countered into a modified sharpshooter. It wasn't real. I mean, it almost looked as if he lost it and was just sort of sitting down. And then he starts leaning back. He's got the legs crossed. Moxley transitions that into a bulldog choke. And Daniel Garcia has no place to go, and he taps out. And Jon Moxley, to the surprise of no one, picks up the win here in this main event. 2.0. Matt Lee and Jeff Parker, who are all elite. They have signed contracts with AEW. They are in. They were at ringside with Daniel Garcia. They immediately attack Moxley. So now Moxley is being beaten down. Kingston, it's a 3-on-2 attack. Here comes Sting and Darby Allin down for the assist. I guess they came down from the rafters because they're coming down the aisle. And Moxley hits a paradigm shift to Garcia. Stinger splash to both members of 2.0 in the corner, followed by a scorpion death drop to Jeff Parker. And Darby Allin hits a coffin drop on both Parker and Lee to end the show on a high note. I'm curious when I go back and read the dark results, if there was anything after the show, if Punk came back out. I'm thinking maybe he did, right? Send him back out there. Send the crowd home happy. But we didn't see Punk again after the opening segment, which we didn't have to. They were hyping him up for Dynamite in Milwaukee this Wednesday. Again, smart. You want to hear from CM Punk? You want to see CM Punk again? You got to tune into Dynamite this Wednesday. We're going to see if there really is a CM Punk effect. Because you knew the return would be a big deal, because he's been gone for so long, right? It's got that novelty feeling to it, because we haven't seen him in a long time inside of a ring. So when the novelty wears off, can he be a real draw? Can he be a real attraction for AEW? That's going to be the question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I don't know what to expect in terms of the ratings for this show. I think they could get to 1 million. I think they could break 1 million. But beyond tonight, and even beyond next week, you know, what is the buy rate for All Out going to look like on pay-per-view? What are the Dynamite or Rampage numbers going to look like in the weeks to come with Punk on television every week? Because there's been some comments this week from people, including one man who happens to be the reigning Universal Champion over on SmackDown, commenting on the drawing power of CM Punk. Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out what kind of a draw he can be in 2021. I'm very curious to see this Twitter poll here. I want to see what you guys thought of the show tonight. We got 2,500 votes in already. Look at this. Going on 2,600. 96%. You think this is a lopsided poll? What do you guys think? I'd call that a pretty lopsided poll. 96% thumbs up, 4%. Thumbs down. And we got another poll going in the live chat as well with another 2,600 votes. 97% thumbs up, 3% thumbs down. So we've got, what is that, total combined? We've got over 5,000 votes. I don't know if this is any indication of television ratings, but I could tell you just based on this stream that there was a lot of interest in this show tonight. You'll love to see it. You'll love to see it. So I thought that tonight was all about Punk. The Punk segment was perfect. I thought the tag team match that followed was really good. The other stuff was just there. It wasn't very good, but it served its purpose. So I thought the key stuff delivered. You really can't ask for anything more than that. Again, it's an hour long in and out. You know, all this talk about NXT and how they're going to revert back to developmental and all that. And I can't imagine that USA Network is going to be very happy about that. Part of me just thinks, you know what, just blow the whole fucking thing up. Maybe the best thing would be for USA when that contract is up to just decline renewing the show. Let the show go back to the network. Let the show go to Peacock. Scale it back to an hour. That's when NXT was at its best, when it was an hour long. It was an easy watch. I like that. I like the hour-long shows. Says the person, of course, who's been streaming all week, no less than 2 hours each night. But that we always have fun here, so it's all good. Right? We don't overstay our welcome too often here. We hang out, we have fun. let's switch over here, because I know we have a lot of messages that came in. I want to make sure I get to all of them. Again, every super chat, if you're new here, every super chat that you send in, because I can't, especially tonight, I can't possibly keep track of everything in the live chat, although I am trying. But the super chats, I will read. Oh boy. we're going to be here a while, I could tell. We're going to be here a while, but I am going to read each and every single one of your, here we go. Every single one of your messages, and again, let me just thank you in advance for all of your support. We've been streaming live this week, Wednesday, Thursday, tonight. We're going to be live again after SummerSlam tomorrow night, and live again on Sunday night for NXT TakeOver 36, the in-ring return of Samoa Joe. It would have been nice to see Samoa Joe back in the ring with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk had he not gone back to NXT, but it was not to be. We got over 900 likes on this stream right now. I want to break 1,000 before we end here tonight. We're so close. I need you guys to get us to 1,000. So hit that thumbs up button. I know we can do it. I believe in you. Believe in the power of the Sound Off Army. Naif Alsafar, my God, I mean, before I even went live, Naif dropped $100 on the stream tonight. I mean, what can I say? I love Naif. He's with us every week, every podcast I do, every stream on YouTube. Naif, thank you. That is a lot of love from Naif tonight. Loose Cannon, welcome. He is a Sound Off legend, one of our new channel members. Neon Speck, I turned the music off. We'll put the music on in a little bit, but there's so many messages here. Neon Speck says, August 13, 2005, I left professional wrestling. August 20th, 2021, I'm back. Here you go, CM Punk. Scott Woodford, he is back. I hope he is on the cruise. I just feel like a kid again, CM Punk. The Jericho cruise? I don't know about that. I haven't heard anything in that direction. But I guess they wouldn't have announced anything until he came back. Cherry Wave, AEW is stacked. Hopefully Bryan Danielson is next. See, on the one hand, I'm happy I no longer have to put up with all of the, is he really going to come? He's not really going to come. I think it's all just a swerve. Now we're going to have to put up with all of this for another month now with Bryan Danielson until he shows up. I trust that he will be there. The same people who said that CM Punk will be there are the same people saying that Bryan Danielson is signed, sealed, and delivered. We saw Punk in the flesh tonight. I think it is safe to say that we will see Daniel Bryan very soon. Whether it is in New York or whether it is earlier than that, we will see him very soon. DiLorenzo, haven't marked out like that since AJ at the Royal Rumble. Seeing Punk was amazing and felt special. Do not get too many of those. No, we do not. But then again, if we got too many of them, they wouldn't feel special, right? You can't have too many of those moments. But when they happen, it feels special. Oz and Gloria, CM Punk, Fuego del Sol, Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt, and Adam Cole. AEW's roster is stacked. Which one of those doesn't fit? I wonder. EJ Slemp, what an amazing moment to see live. The line for the Punk shirt is even more amazing around the entire United Center concourse. So that's right, EJ is at the show tonight. Powerful one. This will go down as one of the greatest moments in wrestling history. My cousin and I came very close to tears. Welcome back, CM Punk. Troy. I haven't seen him look this happy in so long. You know, that is a good point. He looked genuinely happy. CM Punk is not really known, you know, if you think back, he was not known to be an overly happy guy, right? He didn't walk around with a giant cheesy smile on his face most of the time. But tonight, he looked genuinely happy. He looked like a new person. It's like he has a new lease on life. He's got a new lease on his career. Said he looks like he is in love with wrestling again, and the crowd brought him to tears. Also, the ice cream bar was perfect. It could not have been better. Darlene, dropping $5. I was so emotional, Solo Monster. That was one of the most beautiful promos I have ever witnessed. Punk is finally home in AEW. Peter Pan Parker, how long until we see AJ Lee in AEW now? Only AJ Lee can answer that question. I don't know what her interest level is in getting back in the ring. I think we could certainly see her in the crowd. I don't know what her desire is to get back in the ring and be cutting promos on TV. I'd love to see her back. I always enjoyed AJ's appearances when she was on WWE television. Let's see here. We got Shiftmo. Been watching wrestling since 2003. No show has made me cry tears of joy like tonight. He is back. Rizzo with the $10. I think it was smart on AEW to bring Punk out first, but I see why some people thought they should have waited until the end. That was a great open. Master Stroke, JW with the $13. He essentially says, watch Rampage via Twitter from being hyped at that pop. It's 4 a.m. in the UK, and I have no regrets. Has to be considered an all-time pop and debut in wrestling. It's definitely up there. I don't know where it settles on the list, but whatever that list looks like, he is on that list. Coggies with the $20. Hottest open any professional wrestling show could ask for. Wow, I did not expect them to just have the debut as the first segment, but AEW loves to do them that way. Figured we've waited long enough. I think that was the idea. They knew that everybody was waiting for it. They didn't want to delay it and drag it out any longer than it had to be. I think it was the smart way to go. Anonymous. Up at 3 a.m. to catch the start of Rampage here in Ireland. Now I have to get some sleep before I am up at work for 7 a.m. Yes, get some sleep, Anonymous. Tuxedo T-Servo. Blew the roof off, got legit chills watching. Amazing. Temjin Zephyr. I am still stoked about CM Punk's return to wrestling. Great promo, and he finally got his ice cream bars. I think they were generic ice cream bars, but yes, he did get his ice cream bars. I saw Taz was eating one at the announce desk. Boots, joining us tonight, dropping $3. Hello, Boots. And Tyler Blair just subscribed to the channel. Welcome to Tyler. We've picked up a lot of new subscribers and members. We picked up a lot of new subscribers this week as well, just in time because, as I mentioned before, we got a lot more live streaming this weekend left to do. We're not done yet. This was the first big event. We got one more to come tomorrow night. All due respect to TakeOver, right? We've got tonight, and we've got SummerSlam. Honestly, though, you know what? TakeOver may be the best actual card of the entire week. I mean, tonight was three matches. Tonight wasn't about the matches. There's some matches I'm looking forward to tomorrow night at SummerSlam, but I think the top honors go to TakeOver. That's a pretty quality stacked card there that they put together. I just wish it wasn't in the COVID Coliseum. Daily NASCAR ran. That is what brings fans back. CM Punk is all elite. Chris Williams. Punk and Jericho need to do a skit with pizza. Call back to when Jericho compared Punk losing his passion for wrestling to eating pizza every day. I remember Punk being mad at him about that. That might be one of those scores that he talked about settling. Andrew Jorlog dropping $50 on the stream. What is going on, Andrew? And G Troopers just subscribed. He's got Nakamura dancing on my screen. Andrew says, this is AEW's NWO moment. They are about to be nuclear hot among fans. I'm very hesitant to make comparisons like that. There's only one NWO moment. I don't look at this as an NWO moment. I do look at this, and not just Punk, but just the big crowd tonight, and just the enthusiasm around the product right now. This is a pivotal, potentially turning point moment for this company. Where they go from here is going to be very important. The decisions they make, the booking decisions they make. It's unfortunate that, you know, Adam Page got taken out of the scenario. I understand it wasn't AEW's doing. It wasn't their call to take him out of this storyline. But, you know, how they book their television shows and how they book all of these new talents they're bringing in. It's nice that they're signing some you know, names here. But what do you do with them? You know, Punk and Darby, again, that's a match I like. When Punk and Darby is done, what do you do with Punk? Who's going to be that first person that steps up to CM Punk or that first person after Darby Allin that CM Punk handpicks to challenge next? Is it going to be one of his old, you know, an old nemesis of his from his past, or is it going to be a person on the AEW roster, a young kid that he's never wrestled before? Who's going to be that next few? Who do you want to see him in the ring with? Because there's any number of people on that roster. It could be MJF, right? Punk and MJF. Those promos would be fucking fantastic. But you can't give it all away at once. Who's going to be that next person that steps in the ring with CM Punk? Fat Ass Savage with the $4.99 Super Chat. The greatest ovation I've seen in wrestling was Hollywood Hogan in Canada, 2002, and this CM Punk return might have beaten it. Yeah, I forgot about that one. That was a five-minute-long ovation. They love Hogan in Canada. Hogan has always been super over in Canada, going back to WrestleMania 6. Kagi says, clobber that like button. I'm so pumped. It's a super chat party. And Defined Real says, this doesn't feel like a war no more. Food Hive is joining us tonight. I see grown men cry real tears. What a moment. Christian Trahan with the $4.99. First time in several years I actually took the time to watch a wrestling show. Thank the wrestling heavens for AEW. James Cousins, what's going on, James? Dropping $6.95. What an amazing moment. First time I've been excited about wrestling in a long time. Cannot wait for All Out. Will be my first time watching an AEW pay-per-view. Prince Linksy, the mad lad, finally got his ice cream bars. Greatest arc in all of wrestling. You know, to this day, I still don't quite understand what it was that prevented WWE from making whatever deal they needed to make to bring back the ice cream bar. They did make a deal years after Punk left to bring out new WWE ice cream bars. So why they couldn't get that done when Punk was there has always been a mystery to me, because I would have assumed, you know, with that kind of promotion and him pushing them on TV for them, they could have sold a lot of ice cream. I don't know what the holdup was. I would love to know the answer, because I feel like they left a lot of money on the table by not doing that. And by the way, when they finally did come out with those new ice cream bars, they weren't the same as they used to be years ago. I can't have them, but my brother bought a box of them. They had like four different wrestler images on the bars. One was, and they're ice cream sandwiches. They're not on a stick. One was Roman Reigns. One was Becky Lynch. One was Macho Man Randy Savage. I forgot who the other one was. And he said that they were no good. So after all that build-up and all those years, he said it wasn't even worth it. Just buy a flying saucer and that would be better. The Undertaker, 2024. Don't give them any ideas now. Don't even think about giving them any ideas, because you know he won't hesitate to make that phone call. It's been a long time since I got goosebumps like tonight. Welcome back, CM Punk. Loose Cannon dropping $20. Really enjoyed the show. The one-hour format really flies by fast. Now that CM Punk is All Elite and facing Darby at All Out, if the opportunity comes, who would you like to see Punk wrestle in New Japan? Thanks for all the content. Well, that's a great question. It's funny you mentioned that, because before Will Ospreay got hurt and had to forfeit his IWGP Championship, Punk had made the comment that he would be interested in getting in the ring with him. He said, let's wait until the end of the summer and see what happens. That was sort of his tease. And then Ospreay, you know, got hurt. Punk ended up making the deal with AEW. AEW has a working relationship, a friendly relationship, obviously, with New Japan. I think that we could see Punk and Will Ospreay, who is at the moment based in the U.S. He said he's not going back to Japan. He's going to work with the New Japan Strong crew for a while out in L.A. So Will Ospreay would be at the top of the list. Kenta might have something to say about Punk stealing his shit, so that would be an obvious match. So there's two right there. Joe Olivo, CM Punk is back. Joe, thank you for the super chat. Jacob Donnelly, never thought I would shed a tear if CM Punk came back, but I did, and I am not embarrassed at all. Nothing to be embarrassed about. Howard D. People are going to AEW for Jericho, Punk, and Daniel Bryan. I love how new that is. let's see. Granny, hell yeah. It effin' happened. I am so effin' happy. I like how Granny, you know, she holds back with her. Well, it would be filtered out anyway. I have filters on, but Granny is taking the classier approach by not saying the actual words. Samoan Fan 101, when CM Punk said that he had some unfinished business, I was afraid that he would call out Matt Hardy for Jeff's drunken rant in 2010. Yeah, that is a match I do not need to see. Harry Waite, massive fan from Melbourne, Australia, listened to you since 2013. CM Punk, let's go! 2013 was one of CM Punk's best WWE matches of his career. 2013, given that tomorrow is SummerSlam, CM Punk and Brock Lesnar. At SummerSlam 2013, they had themselves a no-holds-barred match that I believe I had as my match of the year. That was a fantastic match. So 2013 was a good year for Punk. He had the match with The Undertaker at WrestleMania that year. Some good stuff. Anti-M Bishop 07 with the $7. Time to roll out the Solomonster ice cream bars for All Out or Arthur Ashe. My God, what a show tonight. Mox is a promo master. All the best. Carlos Lugo. Who would you book as Punk's next opponent after Darby? Well, again, I floated MJF, although part of me thinks that you ought to wait before you do that. You can kind of build to that over time. There's no need to really rush into it. You know, Punk's going to hit all the main stars at some point. As far as who comes after Darby, it should be a heel. I guess it depends on whether or not he's going to go right into one of these old scores to settle, because I do think we're going to get Punk and Mox. So I think we could get CM Punk and Jon Moxley. Very possible. I know they dropped some teases for Tanahashi and Moxley. I do think that match is going to happen, but Tanahashi is going back to Japan. So apparently they wanted it to happen sooner. It's not going to happen right away. It will happen. So if not Tanahashi, I mean, who do they build up for Jon Moxley? Maybe it's CM Punk. Jose Leanos. Had to pour a Solomonster screwdriver for tonight. Well, cheers to you, Jose. May you enjoy it. Shawnee in the Wrestling. What a name. I've had the same shit-eating grin on my face for the past hour. I am so happy. I'm stunned. It feels like something historic just happened. PB. Dropping $75. PB coming in hot. Ice cream bars for your next meetup. I can't have ice cream bars, but yeah, I guess we could probably do something like that. Everybody else could have ice cream. Mean Mark, AWA. Thought about taking a half day at work and driving 6 hours to Chicago for the show tonight. Chickened out, but learned my lesson. On to Milwaukee. DHV Smoking Trees sent a $5 super chat. I love these names. I would bet my next paycheck that acting in the Heels TV show is what gave the wrestling itch. Back to CM Punk. Punk is going to be on that new Heels show on Showtime, or not Showtime, on Stars. I watched the first episode. I'll give my thoughts on it on the podcast on Sunday. I enjoyed it. And it's every Sunday. Punk is going to play a character on the show that debuts in episode 3. So not this Sunday, but next Sunday. He plays an old independent wrestling veteran. And I forgot offhand what the name is. It's like a funny name, too, that his character has. I think it's Richie Rabies or something Rabies. Something like he's got rabies, I guess. But anyway, so yeah, Punk is going to be on the show, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, if you want to find out how good of an actor he is. Maybe those weren't real tears tonight. Maybe he was just acting. Who knows? I'm sure they were real. Rock Intensity with the $5 Super Chat. I love pro wrestling once again. You mean you weren't excited when they announced on SmackDown tonight that Logan Paul is coming back to Raw this Monday night for a Johnny Drip Drip segment on Moist TV? Are you not looking forward to Moist TV? Is that what you're telling me? Moist TV with Logan Paul doesn't get you excited for pro wrestling? I don't believe you. HBK C83. The emotion written on his face when he said, "I feel you, Chicago." That moment was worth all of the waiting. Dallas Caballero. What are the chances down the line we see Punk against Ospreay? They had their little Twitter back and forth, and Will said that he will knock the forbidden door. I just talked about that. I agree. I think it's a match that is very, very likely at some point. Emmanuel Briseno, Salamas are going to make bank tonight. Well, at least there'll be some payoff for all these streams and the no sleep that I've been getting the last few days, so I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Again, all of this love, whether it's just hitting the like button or becoming a channel member, a subscriber, super chat, whatever it is, all of it means it makes it all worth it. It shows you guys care. It means a lot to me. And we're going to hopefully have a big night tomorrow night as well. And hopefully a good show for SummerSlam. I mean, I'm going to sit here and watch it for 3.5 hours. I want to at least, you know, make sure it's a good show. Although I can't really bring myself to care about much on the Monday Night Raw side of the card, outside of RK-Bro, which should be fun. Marek 13. Those CM Punk chants are going to carry a whole new weight now when they crop up in WWE. SummerSlam about to be drowned out in those chants. I don't know. Not necessarily. Plus, you got a big stadium like that. You'd need to get an awful lot of people to carry, you know, like a really sustained loud chant. Look, if there are any matches on the show that are fucking boring, then yeah, people might chant CM Punk, but I don't know that they're going to drown him out. I don't think that's going to happen. Carlos Lugo, out of the possible free agents that are out there, who do you think WWE can bring in to counter Punk? There's nobody. I mean, there's nobody to... You say counter Punk. Again, Punk was a special case because he was gone for 7 years. I mean, who else is out there right now who would have that kind of impact? Who's been gone for that long where people would miss seeing them? I mean, they're trying to get The Rock back. I guess The Rock? The Rock, probably. He's the biggest name they could try to get back. They're trying to get him for Survivor Series in Brooklyn. And they're trying to get him for WrestleMania next year. Outside of him, you know, I don't think there is anybody that I could think of to bring back. I mean, you know, Batista is done. I believe him when he says that he's done. Undertaker, he better be done. We don't need to see him again. Let the man rest. Let the man rest in peace. Yeah, I don't think there is anybody else. I think they just need to focus on the talent they do have. That's part of their problem. They don't focus enough on the use them in a way that doesn't harm them. Focus on the talent that you have and try to build up new stars. And use legends like a Goldberg or somebody to do that. They just don't have to be challenging for the WWE Championship like he is tomorrow night. Hopefully Bobby Lashley's reign will not be interrupted by... It might be interrupted by Big E. Even though technically Baron Corbin is still in possession of the briefcase after tonight. If you missed my SummerSlam predictions, I did a whole stream last night. So when you're done here, you can head on over there. I laid out all my predictions for the show tomorrow night. Tall Jamie. At one point, Punk mentioned we. And then he moved on saying more of that later, but no one else appeared. Any idea what he could have meant? AJ, perhaps. Brian Danielson, maybe. That would be interesting if Danielson comes in and they link the two of them together. So that was, and I forgot to mention that, but that was kind of the first thing I thought. Maybe he's referring to Brian. The spiral goes on. The spiral goes on. Goes on where? Thank you for the $20. He goes, like you. I've never been the hugest CM Punk fan, but that was the greatest crowd reaction I've ever seen for a return or a debut. The atmosphere there was just electric, and I got the feels a little bit seeing Punk so genuinely happy. ST8 Markin with the $20. I got my wisdom teeth pulled yesterday. Ooh. Could not go live. I'm pretty bummed. Thanks for your content, Solomon. Sir, been listening since 2014. You know what you need? Ice cream. You need some ice cream. Isn't that what they say for wisdom teeth? Or am I thinking of when you get your tonsils out? I didn't have my tonsils out or my wisdom teeth out, so I'm not sure. But hopefully you're feeling better. Hopefully they gave you some good pain medication. Hashway dropping $50 on the stream. Salute, my friends. Salute to Hashway. Hashway is another one who is out of the country, and I believe is in a time zone where it is very, very late where he is. So I appreciate him, if he is still with us, because that came in an hour ago. We still have a ways to go here. But if he is still joining us, Hashway, thank you. A special show worth seeing live at 5 a.m. and staying awake for the stream. Sorry for not being active on the stream and not keeping up with the content, but time difference is a kill. You don't have to apologize. I don't expect you to be. I mean, that time difference is ridiculous, so I don't expect you to be here. The fact that you're here is amazing. Nick Grasso with the $10. Great moment. I would have loved for MJF to interrupt CM Punk. The heat would have been great. Next is Final Countdown. You know what? It would have been cool, but I'm glad they did it the way they did it. I think they needed to just let him have that moment. Let his fans have that moment. There are going to be other opportunities, maybe even on Dynamite in the next few weeks after the Darby match where he could be interrupted by MJF, and maybe that's going to be his next program. It did not have to happen on night one. Amiibo celebrated tonight with some ice cream bars. Vincent Millage dropping $20. Today was amazing. I'm so glad. It was a simple debut. Punk originally got me interested in wrestling, and when WWE screwed him over, I completely lost interest and only listened to the podcast. Did not come back until AEW. I'm telling you, I have my best friend, actually, who was a wrestling fan many, many years ago, and then was kind of a casual fan at best. The two names that really brought him back into it many years ago were CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. So when Daniel Bryan went away and had to retire, and Punk obviously, you know, he left before Bryan did, that was it. I mean, he would casually follow it. He would ask me questions about what's going on. You know, he listens to the show occasionally or watches my stuff. But when I told him that Punk was coming back, you know, he got interested. He said, oh, this might be what gets me back into it. And when I told him Bryan is coming back, he really got interested. So, you know, just because they may not be at the level of a Stone Cold Steve Austin or a Hulk Hogan or somebody like that does not mean that in the eyes of some, you know, like even casual fans, that these names don't add value and that they can't bring some lapsed fans back into the product. Lapsed WWE fans who maybe now check AEW out for the first time and they say, hey, I like this. This is pretty good. I think I might stick around. That's what Tony Khan has to be hoping for. Bringing in that new fan base is something that when you get two big names that you bring into your company like these two guys, you hope that they bring some new fans or some lapsed fans in with them. You can grow your fan base. The spiral goes on again. Now that Punk's return is in the history books, how would you book Danielson's AEW debut if you could? I think, you know, Punk may have dropped a little hint of some kind of connection with him and Bryan on the show tonight. So it could be something related to Punk where maybe he comes out to join with him. Maybe, you know, not as like a tag team per se, but it could have ties to Punk. Otherwise, I don't know. I almost feel like it would have to be in maybe answering someone's challenge. If someone is in like a heel is in the ring or something and they're sort of throwing out some kind of open challenge. They, you know, they're full of themselves. You could do something like that, and then all of a sudden you hear Brian's, I keep calling him Bryan, but, you know, Bryan's music. Or you could do something similar to what they did with Punk. you could open that show and just play his music and let him come out, let him have his moment and say, you know, I'm here to, you know, just like CM Punk, I'm here to work with and wrestle and get in the ring with all these young guys, these young, hungry guys. You know, the American Dragon is back. Best in the world. He also calls himself best in the world. I don't know which one I would prefer. Part of me almost wishes they would just let him come out the way they did with Punk tonight, but you did it with Punk, so maybe you could try something a little bit different. I got to give this some more thought on what I would prefer they do with Brian, who I would prefer to see him program with in his first match when he comes in. He's going to want to work with everybody. He's going to want to work with all the AEW young guys. He's going to want to work with the New Japan guys. I think for him, much like Punk, this is probably going to be almost like a rebirth. You know, not that WWE didn't push him. I mean, they treated him a lot better than they treated CM Punk, you know, just based on what Punk said. But, you know, it's been so long since he's been on the independent scene and has had the opportunity to work with a lot of these new faces. I think he's another one. You're going to see a big fat smile on his face when he comes in. I think he loves wrestling. To hear him talk about wrestling in interviews, he loves pro wrestling. And I feel like him coming out to the old music and getting a big reaction and being in a new place and new surroundings and new people to work with, I think you're going to see a big smile on his face like you saw with CM Punk here tonight. Chris Quillman. It's crazy how fast Rampage goes by. Reminds me of Lucha Underground. Thank you, Mr. Monster, for all of the OT. Magician Sapphire. CM Punk's debut shows Tony Khan and AEW learned their lesson from Revolution. They don't toy with the fans' expectations. They gave us what we wanted. There's an expression. It's called keep it simple, stupid. And I think it applied to what they did on the show here tonight. Moroa, 12004 with the $20. Haven't been excited about a wrestling company since 2004. What a feeling it is when the company listens to its audience instead of hating their fans. As always said, when wrestling is good, it is effing awesome. Tamara Davis. I hope Tamara's having a great night. I see her. I see you. I see the wrench right there holding down the fort for us in the chat. Crazy to think they still got Brian in the tuck. Okay. At this point, I would slow down signing people. If they could sign just one more guy, who would it be? Well, you know, if they could only sign one more person, I really think Adam Cole would be a great fit for AEW. More so than a Bray Wyatt or anyone like that, I think I'd rather see Adam Cole come in. I think he could be a great addition to that roster. Josh Vlogs, happy CM Punk Day. 4:30 in the morning in the UK and 28 years of age, and I've never been more excited about professional wrestling. Roka Will 23, one of the greatest moments in wrestling history. It was emotional witnessing the return of Punk. Screw you, Roman Reigns. Yeah, Roman Reigns got a lot of hate for those comments. Food Hive. This was literally the first time that AEW started a show with a promo segment and without an opening match in 2 years. That is an accomplishment in itself. You know, I didn't realize that, but I believe you're right. And it's one of the things I appreciate about the product. I think it's okay to open with a promo, but you don't want to go too far the other way with it the way the WWE does. That sort of is the formula they established. And on a lot of the shows, especially on Mondays, we sort of are conditioned to expect somebody to come out and have that opening 20-minute, you know, rambling promo segment that they could probably condense into 5 minutes. But The challenge there is they have 3 hours of television to fill. And so you need, in their mind, you need segments like that. You have to have just send somebody out there to just almost like stall for time, right? What's one way to kill time? Send somebody out there with a mic to just sort of, you know, wax on about their opponent and other random shit. That is one of the things about AEW I do appreciate, though. Sean Waters dropping 10. Actually, Dry Chicken Without Flavor is joining us tonight. I am very happy to see CM Punk back in the squared circle on national TV. Sean Waters, coming from the Chicago area, was always a fan of Punk and loved every second of this. Probably not, but hope Vince McMahon was watching, realizing that AEW is gaining momentum. I would bet my left nut and maybe my right, and I don't part with them easily, that Vince McMahon was not watching Dynamite or watching Rampage this week. I can almost guarantee that. However, I can guarantee you there were a lot of people, including high-up people in WWE, who almost assuredly, if they weren't watching tonight's show live, they will be watching this show on the replay. I don't believe Vince McMahon is one of those people. EJ, when I was 14, I missed Money in the Bank 2011 live, and I always regretted it. 10 years later, at 24, I was able to be there tonight. I am so happy. EJ, you are making a lot of people jealous, I think, that you were in the building tonight. I hope it was as fun for you in the building as it was for all of us to watch on TV, because I thought that segment was fantastic. Maroa, P.S., who are the 3% who voted thumbs down for that episode of Rampage? Curious to know what they did not like about the show. One and only. Maybe it was just the moment, but Darby felt like a star up in the rafters tonight. Glad he's going to be the one to get the rub from Punk. I was just talking about how the way that AEW has utilized Sting, I think, has really been a positive thing for Darby Allin. He was already over, but I like the way that they have used Sting, and even the way he comes out first when they make their entrances a lot of the time. It just makes Darby stand out as a real star. Seeing him standing up there, you gotta understand something. And this is one of the things about what they did tonight that I think works so well. There are a lot of fans of wrestling who are in the chat right now, who watched that show tonight, who were watching during the Monday Night Wars, right? People talk about the Monday Night War to this day in the Attitude Era ad nauseum, right? Raw versus Nitro, WWF against WCW. And one of the great attractions from that period, the glory days, right, is Sting, Crow Sting, up in the rafters. We just have a certain affinity for looking back on that. And, oh, man, it was so cool when Sting was up in the rafters and he would come down with the baseball bat. And you look at Sting now and he's older, but he's got the face paint. He looks like, he otherwise looks the same. He dresses the same. And to see Sting up in the rafters, for a lot of fans, it invokes those old memories from a time in wrestling that they were huge fans of. A period in wrestling history that they romanticize and they love and they miss and they wish they could go back to. So there's Sting up in the rafters, and just by being there standing next to him, Darby Allin, I think, is, as you said, feeling that a lot of people still have for that Sting character, it rubs off on him. It makes him look cool. It makes him feel like a bigger star. So that is one of the reasons why I love the way they did that and the way they shot that when they would pan up and they would show them just standing there, expressionless, right? Looking down at CM Punk from the rafters. It's just a cool shot. And I think that the way they've used Sting, I think, is a model, frankly, for how to use other legends. And they have a lot of other legends under contract in managerial roles and stuff. They have Jake Roberts with Lance Archer and Arn Anderson with Cody and... Yeah, they've got Vicky in there. But the way they've used Sting, I think, has been very smart. Josh Stockton dropping $27 here on the stream. I first discovered CM Punk while watching Ring of Honor as a 9-year-old in 2004. I haven't watched wrestling weekly since he left. I'm not a big fan of AEW, but I have to admit seeing CM Punk in a wrestling ring again was cool. Yeah, the question is, for Josh and a lot of people who fall into that category, now that you got the big moment, are people like Josh going to stick around and sample AEW? Are they going to watch Dynamite next week? Or did they just want to see that one big pop and then they're back out again? That's going to be the question going forward. Do these people stick around? Do they care enough to stick around and watch AEW, or did they just want the moment? And now they're right back out. Because if you're Tony Khan, you're hoping that it's the former and not the latter. MattView72, Solid Monster, the building was electric. I did not think it would stop with the chanting. My head is ringing, my voice hurts. Happy heart and ice cream in gut. Boy, people love their ice cream, let me tell you. Hugh Jazz, one of my favorite super chatters. How would you handle the punk cult situation? I don't think I would handle it. That's for them to handle. They're two grown adults. I don't think they're going to be clawing at each other the way that Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels did that one time. I think they're grown adults. If they don't like each other and they don't want to make amends, they'll just have to avoid each other. As long as Punk is not working with the Dark Order, I don't really see what the issue is. If I'm Tony Khan, it's really none of my business. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a mediator. It really doesn't have anything to do with me. As long as they show up to work and do their job and they steer clear of each other, I don't see why AEW would have to do anything. You know, just don't put them together. Dry chicken without flavor. I would not be mad if CM Punk and Darby Allin went into a time limit draw. Could happen. Maybe there's a non-finish in that match. I just feel like in his first match, though, you're probably better off. Everyone's going to want to see the go to sleep. They're going to want to see Punk get that win in Chicago. I just don't think Darby is hurt by a loss, but you're right. Maybe there is some kind of a screwy disqualification. Heels run in. Punk, Darby, and Sting all work together. You know, do they want to have a run-in disqualification finish in their main event? AEW does not do disqualification finishes. They avoid it like the plague. Another thing I appreciate about AEW. They don't do the distraction roll-ups all the time. They don't do disqualification finishes. It's okay to do them every now and then, though. So maybe that situation warrants a DQ. But it would be very rare to see them doing that. They don't like doing it. Okay, reviewer. That's not me. I'm better than okay. I'm like one level up from okay. But we have okay reviewer. Hey there, Solid Monster. A bit of an unusual request. But could you give my family dog, Charlie, a shout out? We may have to put him down soon, and I would really appreciate it. Sorry for bringing down the mood. Well, that sucks. I'm sorry to hear that. It's one of the reasons I don't have a pet anymore is, you know, I've lost two of them, and it sucks, and I don't want to go through that again. So it's a terrible feeling. I'm sorry about Charlie. Shout out to Charlie. Let's get some dog emojis in the chat in celebration of Charlie here. You didn't tell me how old Charlie is, but I hope everything works out. And that situation can be, you know, resolved as painless as possible. There's no easy way to go about doing that. I mean, there's really nothing I can say to make it any better. But I hope things, however they work out, I hope they work out okay. It's horrible. There we go. There's all the dog emojis in the chat. We got a lot of dog lovers, right? Do we have a lot of pet owners in the chat? I was always a cat man myself. Jared M. Look at this. Jared M. We got to get some confetti dropping down for the $100 super chat from Jared M. Jared M. says, absolutely perfect. But of course, the WWE fanboys can't help themselves by throwing shade on Punk's return. Well, you're always going to have haters out there. It's, you know, can't we all just, for one night, put all this bullshit aside? I saw a lot of that on social media tonight as well. You just kind of tune out all the noise. Let people have their fun. Why do people have to rain on the parade of others? Come on now. But Jared, thank you, man. Jared, dropping a very beastly $100 super chat here on the stream. I haven't given anybody the confetti treatment in a while, so you should feel special, my friend. Moroa, they seem to build Jade as Britt's next opponent. I'm thinking Chris Statlander. I think it's going to be Statlander and Britt at All Out. Jade is still very, very new. Jade is still mowing down people. It's too soon to put her in the ring with Britt Baker. I think that would be a mistake. It's too soon for that. The Gilf Lover. Will AJ Lee now come to AEW with Punk? No, I don't believe she will. I don't think she's going to be part of his act. Nick Grosso asking also about AJ Lee. Do I think she'll join AEW? I don't discount the possibility that she could come in to make some kind of appearance, but do I think she's going to come in full time? Do I think she's going to wrestle, be with Punk? I don't see it. I don't know that she wants to. JD Starlord, Riho is out due to a bad reaction to the vaccine. That's right, I did read something about that, so it might be a medical reason that she's been out. But I do believe I read that she is on her way back very soon, so she must be doing better. Ghostros 123, imagine if AEW starts doing a clock thing and every week the clock ticks down to zero. And when it hits zero, out comes Danielson to his final countdown theme. Well, that would be cool. A little too similar to the Millennium Countdown that Chris Jericho did. But it would tie in nicely to his theme music. Marcus the Entertainer. Riho. Same thing, mentioning Riho. Thank you, Marcus. Suzuki Goon. Dropping $5. Next year at All Out, could you see Cody defending the AEW belt against Punk or Bryan? I don't, because in storyline, Cody cannot challenge for the AEW belt. So they would first have to come up with a storyline way for him to get the shot. He would then have to win the championship, which I don't see him doing anytime soon. So no, I don't see that happening. Jonathan Corky. Punk in Black made me an overnight fan. AEW stuff was hit or miss for me, but this is great. Dr. NXT Scorpio, want to say thanks to the idiots at TSN and the NFL for making me wait an hour and crash my internet to miss history. Hope everyone has a good night. Well, that sucks. Paul Heyman joining us tonight. Instead of Christian winning the TNA and Impact belts and being Christian 2 belts, I was hoping Pac would have won the belts so that we could have Tupac. Thank you, Paul Heyman. Psycho Jet Black. Already a better debut than Bret Hart in WCW. Oh, come on. Me walking into the fucking deli the other day was a better debut than Bret Hart in WCW. I think we're setting the bar very low if we're going to use that as some kind of benchmark. Gooch Suplex Hold. I wish WWE was this interesting, but them's the breaks. L with the $4.99 Super Chat with AEW's roster getting so stacked with big names. Do you think it's getting too congested in AEW? It is getting a little congested, and that is why I think they do need to kind of slow their roll a little bit. You can't sign everybody from WWE, but when you get a name, let's say Adam Cole becomes available, you don't just let that guy pass by. I think he can be such an asset and a great ambassador and just a great part of that roster for that company. And obviously he's got a connection there given his girlfriend is the champion, so I'm sure they'd love to work together. But you're right. It is an issue. And Tony Khan has to tread very carefully here. You don't want to just flood your roster with every single name that WWE releases. I thought that WWE releasing Bronson Reed was completely ridiculous. And I think he's going back now to his old name of Jonah Rock. And he has interest in going to New Japan. I think that would be a good landing spot for him. Or Impact could be a good landing spot for him. I haven't suggested that he go to AEW because I think there has to be a limit. And as much as I like Bronson Reed, I don't think that he should be going to AEW. I think there has to be a limit to how many of these people Tony Khan is going to bring in. He's probably going to bring in Ric Flair. They're good friends. Flair is available. I'm almost positive Flair is coming in. And frankly, I could do without that, but he'll probably be coming in. Cole, we're waiting to find out what his decision is. After that, I think you just sort of take stock of who you have on the roster, and you move forward, and you start to build all of your new programs and your matches with the roster that you have. At least with the men. I think if they wanted to sign a couple of more, quality female talents from the independent scene or people who are free agents, that would, not named Tessa Blanchard, who I'm sure is not coming in. That would be fine, because a lot of the people we're talking about are on the men's side, not the women's side. Seadust, 19. The best Johnny Ace story is Jim Cornette. Thank you, fuck you, bye. Boom. Yes, I've heard that story many times before. Gary Smith, check your PayPal, but I paid our bet from Twitter. That's right, Gary and I made a bet on Twitter. For some reason, Gary didn't think that CM Punk was going to be on the show tonight, and he bet me $50, and I said, you know what, I'll take you up on that bet. But Gary will be happy to know I'm going to take that money, and I'm going to donate it to his favorite charity out in Arizona. I believe it's called Save the Families. So your money will be going to a good cause. Nice little friendly bet that we made tonight. I don't bet very often, but I figured this was such a layup. I said, how could I not? Ojali Burgos with the $10 super chat drop. Hopefully this means that all of the WWE trolling podcasters, not you, will leave WWE alone and allow for the rest of us to enjoy the shows. I cannot wait for SummerSlam. Drew Johnson, Solomon, sir, you're the man. Thank you for everything you do. Drew, thank you. I appreciate that. Lone Wolf with the $5 super chat. Missed being at the UC, at the United Center, to see Punk's return, but will be at All Out to see his first match in 7 years. By the way, Fox executives cannot be happy about this. James Gruesome almost laughed at the one dude crying, but seeing Punk holding back tears was great. Glad I watched live. Solomonster rules. Thank you, James. 561 Mexico sent a $10 super chat. Two things. Number one, I hope CM Punk is helping elevate AEW and not bringing drama. Isn't TNT the network for drama? Isn't that part of their name? He could be exactly what TNT is looking for. And number two, I am one of the few Johnny Ace fans. Yes, you read that right. As always, enjoy the show while I am listening. Now, okay. Are you a fan of Johnny Ace as the character on the show? Like, people power. I'm the executive vice president. Whatever his title was. I'm the executive the vice president of talent relations in WWE. People power. And I'm here to announce... Like, are you a fan of him as an on-air character, or are you talking about the person? And the executive behind the scenes. Because what I'm saying is that every story from people who have worked with him or have had to deal with him in WWE, he's not exactly a well-liked individual. Paul Heyman, would you rather wrestle in a death match or a bra and panties match? Brother, if you ever put me in a bra and panties match, it would basically be a death match. I think everybody watching would die. I don't think anybody needs to see that. Oz and Glorious, Young Bucks, new bio right now. Thank God we started AEW and are responsible for bringing CM Punk back to wrestling. I find them more entertaining in their Twitter bios than I do on TV a lot of the time. Robert Kaplinger, AEW feels big with the arena, the aesthetic, and the stardom. I feel they definitely found their footing. Also, you are so strong, Solomonster. The world's strongest man. That's who I am. Joe Cool 82. Boy, we're all just full of shit tonight, aren't we? Joe Cool 82, CM Punk against Malakai Black writes itself, and it's the only match that I want. That is what I was talking about. He's going to work with all of these guys, but Punk and Malakai Black, that's like next year. I mean, that's like down the road. You can't do that anytime soon. Come on. Be patient. Be patient. I'm sure they are going to do all of those matches. Nonverbal Pie 81. I headbanged hard when Cult of Personality hit. Willie Eichert. What's going on? Willie was at the show tonight with Mama Eichert. I hope you guys had fun. Man, what a night. More like AEW CM Punk, by the way. Mama Eichert says hello. Well, send my regards to her. I hope she is doing well. I saw the picture you tweeted me. It looked like she was having a blast, and that was before the show even went on the air. Uffman Entertainment says we hit... Oh, good, I haven't checked. We hit 1,000 likes. In fact, we're almost at 1,300. So let's... We could do 1,300. We could probably do 1,400. Why don't we shoot for 1,400? That's awesome. Let's just kill it. Let's have the best fucking YouTube stream of all the five streams that we're going to do this week. I am very curious to know if the numbers on this stream, traffic-wise, thumbs-up-wise, are going to top SummerSlam. That would be something. If a one-hour secondary AEW show, or, you know, review for a secondary AEW show, will actually beat my SummerSlam review. That would be quite surprising. So let's see if we can make it happen. Quintus Brown, so happy that CM Punk is back. Everyone better put some respect on Tony Khan's name. He delivered. For tonight, he gave the fans exactly what they wanted. As a promoter, he played the smart hand. It was so hyped up. You got everybody excited. All you have to do, sometimes it's so easy. Just give the people what they expect. Just give them the payoff. All you have to do. And when you do, you are rewarded the way that Tony Khan in AEW was tonight. Brian Bryant, 8-20-21, we will never forget. Jacob Barnes, I'm trying to buy the new CM Punk AEW shirt and the website crashed. It's so good to see Punk back in wrestling. Yeah, I believe the sites are still down. So they'll get that fixed by tomorrow. Steven Gonzalez, the Elite, attacks Punk at the end of All Out, and Brian comes out to make the save. What do you think? I kind of prefer that they do that at the Arthur Ashe show. I don't think you need to do it at All Out. I just would rather it be in a big stadium, right? The Now Arena, you're going to have about 10,000 people in that building. I mean, you are still in Chicago, right? They're going to be rabid for Punk. But you're going to be in a building with 17,000 people in this nice stadium, right? Big debut in New York. I think they're going to want to have something special saved for that show. I think it should be Bryant. I don't know that I would... I just don't know that there's a need to have him in Chicago on that show when you're going to have Punk. You're building everything around Punk's debut. I think you could put Brian's debut off for a few more weeks. I would save him for New York. You could do the same angle on that show. Brian's music hits, maybe he comes out. You could do it there instead of doing it in Chicago. Shambly Games missed the CM Punk debut, but I'm heading home from work right now to watch it. Super pumped, and then thank you for the great content as always. Shambly Games, have a safe trip home. Thank you for the $4.99. Moroa, Punk against Black after he is done with Darby. What do you think? I'd put that off for a little while, but it is a match that I definitely would like to see that match. I would not do it right away. Brian Bryant again. Punk return debut in AEW. That'll put butts in seats. LOL. Gonna have to wait to buy Punk's new shirt. Hashtag needle mover. Jared Simpson. Holy shit. That's the review. Got home a little while ago. Looks like Jared had some fun at the United Center tonight. We've heard from a whole bunch of people who were there. I've heard nothing but positive things. DNick237, when do you think Bryan Danielson is debuting? September 22nd. That's what I think. Jay Ray. After tonight, WWE has to respond with their shows, so let's pay attention to SummerSlam and next week's Raw and SmackDown to see what they deliver. Granny, hell yeah, I'm a 30-year-old man, LOL. Join the Discord, hit like. Granny, well, there you go. Granny is a man. That's what we just found out. Yeah, the Discord, that's, you know, I didn't mention that before, but all the people who have joined tonight as channel members, hit me up because I have to send you the link. That is one of the perks of becoming a member. We have a Solid Monster Discord server. It's for members only right now. I only opened it up a few months ago. It's still growing, but you do get access to the Discord if you want it. Just reach out to me, hit me up. I'll get you a link, and we'll get you into that Discord. Bobby, 2204, dropping $20. Thank you, Bobby. Bobby Boucher. You're lucky that he didn't stick his hands in his pocket. And if anybody said this before me, then I tried. B.B. Bilal. Do you think there's a WWE CM Punk chat or chant, I guess he means, this weekend? Yeah, probably some light chants. I don't think it's going to be anything overwhelming, though. I think the people who bought tickets to go to Vegas are not going there just to sit there and chant CM Punk the entire time. Prince Somber, one of the best things about Punk's return was no over-the-top reaction by the commentary team. Yes, I was hoping they would lay out, and they did for the majority of that opening part of the segment. They kept quiet. Sometimes it's just better to let the moment breathe and just speak for itself. And that's the way that it should have been. I'm very happy they did that. Now, if Jericho was there, I don't know if he would have been able to help himself. He would have been, it's CM Punk, it's CM Punk. I wrestled CM Punk. We had matches in WWE. CM Punk, CM Punk. Thank God he wasn't on the show tonight. D. James, I wonder how those WWE executives feel about SportsCenter's Twitter account tweeting about Punk's return to wrestle. Oh, I'm sure they love that. I'm sure they must love that. IQBAL dropping $2. Who does Mox face at All Out then? Jay White? Yeah, they don't really have a lot of time left, do they, to set up a match for him at All Out. It's not going to be Tanahashi. So Jay White, actually, you know, Jay White probably would make sense. I could see Jay White. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Thing is, like, he's been attacked by 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. He's not going to be wrestling them. So it's not them. It's got to be some new program that is going to start up for him next week. So I would imagine by Wednesday we'll get a sense of who they might, you know, program him with. I would think that Jay White is a definite possibility if they can't get Tanahashi. Iqbal. Okay, there we go. Thank you for correcting me. I said IQBAL like I'm spelling it out here. Iqbal. Thank you for the super chat. Future Endeavored. Look at this. Future Endeavored. I built a power wheel today after my hand surgery. Rough week, but you've got me through. Tomorrow is my son's second birthday. Shout out to Oliver. Love you, bud. Yes, happy birthday to Oliver, and I hope that you're feeling well. That sucks that you had surgery on your hand. But hopefully you will heal and you will be rebuilt. They will rebuild you. Like they did with my knee all those years ago. Suzuki, every time I see that I might have to take that away. Every time I see that, I just start laughing. That Brutter super chat. I saw that. I thought that was hilarious for some reason. I said, that's a super chat. Suzuki Goon, CM Punk against Jay White is a match I always wanted to see. The promos would be good. I agree. They would be. Sean E. Dogs. That crowd was so loud, you couldn't even hear his music. Thanks again for the long week of streams, and Moxley has been killing his promos. I think Jon Moxley doesn't get enough credit for his promos. He is very good. He is one of the better promo guys in the business right now. Natural Born Thriller. CM Punk is back, but we should have the return of CM Skunk. But all seriousness, I'm glad CM Punk finally returned to wrestling. best in the world. I thought maybe we would get the return of CP Monk. See how many of you get that reference from all those years ago. See the return of CP Monk on TV tonight? Quintus Brown, with all this talent, they eventually will have to move Rampage to a different night and time. Monday, 9 to 11 p.m. I would not advise that. If they ever asked me for advice, and I don't know why they would, but if they did, stay away from Monday night. Because no matter how bad Raw is, it would be a bad idea. It would be a very bad idea. And frankly, it's more, I think, of an annoyance to the fans who watch both products than anything else. We already had our little Wednesday night. I can't even call it a war. It was like a Wednesday night skirmish. And I just thought it was fucking annoying more than anything else. So I would rather not see them head-to-head like that. And I just don't think it would be smart. Raw, as bad as Raw is, and Raw is the worst show on all of television. I've said this before. But even still, it is an established brand. That show has been on the air for almost 30 years. And there are still 1.7, 1.8, 1.6 million people who watch that show. You know there's an overlap between the two audiences. Why would you hurt your own number by intentionally going to that night? You want to maximize your audience. So I would avoid Monday. Friday is not a great night either, honestly. I mean, Thursday would probably be better. But do you want to run back-to-back nights? That's the question. Because you got Dynamite on Wednesday. So do you really want to run back-to-back nights? Probably not. The weekend, probably not a great time either. I don't think they're moving from Friday anytime in the near future. They are moving to TBS next year, but I don't think the day of the week is going to be changing. King Bling. Oh my God, what a moment. Glad I was in the building. Buy one, sell two on the better return. Edge Royal Rumble 2020 or Punk Tonight. Or Triple H 2002 was live for Triple H in 02. Triple H in 02 was the Garden. I was not there for it. I kind of wish I was. You know, I might go Punk on this one. Edge's return to the Rumble was great. That was another great moment. But it wasn't this long, drawn-out moment, plus the promo and everything else. Like, it was just, it was an entrance, and then boom, it was over, you know? Triple H was a lot closer to what we saw tonight because, like Punk, he was out there for so long. In Triple H's case, the music looped. Punk was out there for so long, the music just stopped. I don't know why they didn't loop it. And then Triple H cut a promo. He had been gone for many months, but he wasn't gone for 7 years. He was gone for like 7 months. He wasn't gone for 7 years. As great of a reaction as Triple H got in Madison Square Garden, I think tonight topped it. So I have to buy on Punk. Yeah, buy on Punk and sell on the other two. I'm telling you, what we saw tonight is if it's not the best, and I think it may be, but if it's not the best, it is one of the top two or three best return reactions that we have seen for somebody ever in wrestling. Psycho Jet Black, why are you shirtless in that Super Chat GIF? Which one? Are you talking about the disappointed Salomo? Who says I'm shirtless? You can only see me from, like, the shoulder up. Tamara Davis, silly goose. only the people in the Facebook group will get that reference. Apparently saying silly goose on Facebook will be flagged as a bullying and harassment violation. Fuck Facebook. Quintus Brown, Punk's AEW debut topped Jericho's WWE debut. Ooh. Interesting comparison. Sean E. Dogs would be flicking back and forth on Monday night. See, that's the problem. I mean, everybody would be... I know there's this like, oh, back in the day, it was so cool, we would flip back and forth. But you know what? As a fan, that was annoying as shit. And we didn't have the luxury of, oh, well, you know, so what? You'll go on YouTube the next day and just watch it. I had, like, VCRs running. I mean, I was more of a WWF fan anyway, but I did enjoy flipping. Then you would miss something, and you'd have to go back and rewind the tape. It was a pain in the balls. I don't want to go through that again. To me, that's not as fun as it, you know, might have been all those years ago. And even back then, it was more annoying, really, than anything else. Is that the super chat you were referring to, by the way? You see some shoulder there. I was wearing a tank top. Chris Quillman with the $10 super chat drop. What's going on, Chris? Of course, Punk is eventually going to get the belt, but how long should they wait to put it on him? Would you have him take it off Paige or Omega? I would have Paige take it off of Omega, so let's just get that squared away first. If he takes it off Paige, we're talking months and months down the road. I mean, it's so far in the future, it almost is pointless to even talk about it right now. Because Adam Page really needs to get that belt first. It should be him taking the championship away from Kenny Omega. But I agree, Punk will eventually get the belt. You know, Brian may eventually get the belt. But there's nothing to rush into here. There's no need to start talking about when are they going to get the belt. See, that's the wrong conversation to have. That's something that they shouldn't be thinking about right now. Oz and Glorious, Pro Wrestling Tees is still down. I'm seeing a ton of completed and sold listings on eBay for I Was Here shirts, and even the ice cream wrappers are selling for hundreds of dollars. I'm not surprised. Didn't Britney Spears have like a chewed piece of her gum sold on eBay many years ago for like thousands of dollars? People are very weird. They're very strange. Hugh Jazz, buy, sell, or rent Jackson Ryker, Sean Spears, or Jake Hager? Oh, boy. It's quite a motley crew you've put together there. I don't really want to buy on any of them, to be honest with you. But if I had to, I would buy on Sean Spears. I would rent Hager, and I would sell on Jackson Ryker. HBKC83, how long before you throw Jade in the ring with Thunder Rosa? At least a few months. I don't think I would do that at least until you get closer to full gear in November. Maybe it even ends up being a number one contenders match. Full gear would probably be the earliest I would do that match. And then whoever were to win could then go on to challenge for the championship. Kind of hoping they get back to Baker and Thunder Rosa, though. I still feel Thunder Rosa should be the one to take the belt off of her. But a lot of that will depend if Britt Baker ends up becoming a full-fledged babyface, which I don't think she is. I know she was cheered like one in Pittsburgh, but I believe she still is a heel. It should be a babyface taking the belt off of her, and I think it should be Thunder Rosa. Maybe Thunder Rosa then eventually drops it to Jade Cargill. Jade is still very new. She's 9-0, they mentioned. Mark Henry said, oh, Jade is 9-0. Those are the only nine matches, I think, outside of the tag match with Shaq, unless they're counting that. Those are the only nine matches this woman has had. She's still very green. She's very new. She's very inexperienced. Now, I know they have a ranking system, and they go based on, like, quality wins and stuff. It's possible that she'll be ranked number one. I don't know where she is in the rankings right now. But, they're, you know, talking about putting the championship on her, I think, in the next few months is not going to happen. So you could do a number one contenders match, or you could just wait and put the belt on Thunder Rosa whenever Britt Baker is ready to drop the belt. Have Jade take it from Thunder Rosa after she has a little bit of time with it. Spanish Goddess says, what's up, Sala Monster? What is going on, Spanish Goddess? I haven't heard from you all night. Zachary R. Francis dropping five. Another one who was at the United Center tonight. I was there live, and I'm just going to say that it was the most groundbreaking eruption of any crowd that I've ever witnessed. It's like he never left. Samoan Fan, Straight Edge Society, Punk against Broken Matt would have been great. Javier just subscribed to the channel. We are getting very close to 64,000 subs. I can't get there without your help. So if you're watching the stream live and you're not already subscribed, hit that subscribe button. We got two more streams coming up this weekend alone, plus Dynamite this Wednesday, and then Rampage again on Friday. And every time I go live for anything, you will get notified It'll be there for you. So help get us to 64th. If we're not there already, because I know we picked up a bunch tonight, but help get the channel to 64K. We're very, very close. I want to see more dancing Nakamoras on my screen. Reese Smith. Besides Punk debuting, did you think the rest of Rampage was weak? Or was that me? I thought the tag match was very good. I thought overall the rest of the episode outside of the Punk stuff was very weak. But it wasn't about Punk. Or rather, it wasn't about that. It was about Punk. They delivered on what they were obviously hyping without, you know, saying what it was. But I agree. I thought the other matches were very, very weak. Bill Mitchell. Look at this. Bill Mitchell showing up. I haven't heard from Bill in a while. Fun show, despite seeing more of Jack Perry than I ever wanted to. Yeah, when Jungle Boy got rolled up by, I think it was Isaiah Cassidy, he had a fistful of trunks. And we got to see parts of Jungle Boy that only Anna Jay gets to see, which I could do without. But he says, CM Punk crowd surfing and taking out a row of fans, and Callis couldn't find the camera. Andy Jonathan just got back from the United Center and finished up my ice cream bars. Ears are still ringing from the loudest pop I have ever heard. 561 Mexico. I am a fan of his All Japan days, one of the few I know. That is what I mean, Solomonster. Well, thank you for clarifying. Gooch suplex hold. What if WWE held NXT TakeOver at Daly's Place? Do you think that the cons would allow... Let me get some music on here. Do I think the cons would allow for an NXT takeover at Daly's Place? I think Daly's Place is open for business. I think if they wanted to host the takeover and they went to the cons and they were willing to pay up to rent the building, I think they'd be open to it. After all, Tony Khan is all about this forbidden door that he always talks about, right? So I think the door is open if the price is right, and if they're willing to pay the rental fee for Daly's Place, sure, why not? I think NXT TakeOver at Daly's Place would actually be pretty cool. TMAC034, getting a new CM Punk shirt tonight is the new trying to get a PS5. Anyone wants to trade a PS5 for a Punk shirt? Just kidding. Shirt will be on stock tomorrow. Psycho Jet Black, to think the WWE let Cody Rhodes stop being Stardust, he would never have left the company, met the Bucks, and created All In and founded AEW. It is amazing, isn't it? It kind of reminds me of when Vince McMahon gave the okay to allow the Ultimate Fighter to air after Raw, when Raw was, I think Raw back then was still on Spike. And they went to him because they needed to get his permission to allow this new UFC reality show to air after Monday Night Raw. And he said, sure. And that was really the show, I think, that saved UFC. And UFC ended up becoming huge. And they were absolutely competition to WWE in terms of pay-per-view box in like the mid to late 2000s. So it is pretty incredible how one little decision, one way or the other, can make such a big difference. Scott Bennett, should WWE be worried right now? They have always said AEW is not competition. They're full of shit, by the way, when they say that. Okay, I think we've established that. They don't believe that. I don't believe that they believe that. I think they feel they have to say that publicly, which they don't have to. They can acknowledge the fact that they are competition. But that is pure bullshit. Of course, AEW is competition to WWE. AEW and WWE compete for the same talent. They are competing from the same talent pool. That alone makes them competition. Not to mention the fact that both of them are very heavily reliant on television rights fees. And when AEW's rights fees come up and WWE's rights fees come up, don't just assume that WWE is going to be the belle of the ball and they're going to get the deal. They are competitive in terms of media rights, and they are competitive in terms of talent. So whenever I hear somebody make the argument that they're not competition, those people don't have a fucking brain in their head. Whatever is in their head is rattling around in there. And they're not a very smart person, because They are absolutely competition for very basic reasons, too. It's just such a nonsensical argument to make. I don't even take people who say that seriously. And I don't believe for a second that a lot of the top executives in that company believe it even when they say it and it comes out of their mouth. I think they know that they're full of shit, but they say it anyway. Bulu Fatulu. See, Luis is joining us. Hey, Solomonster, is CM Punk top five on the mic of all time? I don't think all time. I that's a bold statement to make. There have been a lot of great talkers in wrestling history. Punk is up there, but I can't say top five. I'd have to really, you know, I think of people like Ric Flair. I think of Roddy Piper. To say that Punk is in the top five, I feel like I would be missing a whole bunch of people who deserve to be in there. But he is on the list. He's way up there on the list. There's no doubt about it. I can't sit here right now without putting a list together and tell you that he is top five. Christopher Jazzcat, I have not been this happy for wrestling in years. That is a sentiment that has been echoed by a lot of people tonight. Jonathan Corky. Guess WWE backstage is officially done. It's been done for a while. DX Darwin, I'm not updated of what is happening in AEW, but I am now interested because of Punk. Turtlehead, been at work all day. What did I miss? The return made ESPN. Steven Gonzalez, regardless of where Brian debuts, I think his first pay-per-view match should be teaming with Punk against the Bucks at Full Gear, no titles involved. I think that would be a fantastic match. CM Punk and Daniel Bryan against the Young Bucks, I think that would be a championship or not. I think that would be a great idea. Let's see, Nakaze E. The amount of mainstream attention that AEW is getting from Punk's return is wild. We knew it would be big, but attracting all kinds of people. Kevin Murillo, I was both at Money in the Bank 2011 and tonight at Rampage. The energy was as intense now, if not more so, than it was 10 years ago. Powerful one. The only return I can think of that can compare is The Rock in 2011. That was the one I was thinking of, too. I think I still put Punk above that one. John the Baptist, 87, just dropped a super chat as well. Thank you, John. Merlot Williams, just caught the YouTube replay of the CM Punk debut. Looks like I'm dropping some scratch on September 5th. That is exactly what Tony Khan wants to hear. That is exactly why he brought in somebody like CM Punk. He's taking a bet that CM Punk is going to drive business. It drove ticket sales tonight. Can that translate into pay-per-view buys? We're going to find out. John, again, has anyone else other than Punk there chanted while being away from the ring other than Punk? Even Austin and Rock don't randomly get their name chanted. I can't think of anybody else who has their name randomly chanted for 7 years like CM Punk. I don't think there is anybody else. Unless there is a wrestler named What that I am unaware of. I know they had a wrestler in WWE, Jim Neidhart, under a mask who called himself Who. But I don't recall a wrestler named What. If there is a wrestler named What, I've been hearing that bastard's name mentioned for 20 years. And I would like for him to be blackballed from the wrestling business. KC to most. Yo, Solomonster. Sorry I missed the last two streams. Was working the CM Punk debut. Was epic. Give me Kenta against Punk, New Japan all the way. Luis Belmont Show. Watching Rampage right now, the 14,000 fans sounded more like 125,000 in attendance for CM. What do you think this is, North Korea? So surreal, he says. Jonathan Corky, we're almost caught up here. Jonathan Corky, this moment might as well be added to this week in wrestling history. Bulu, dropping more super chat love. Who has the greatest debut ever? Kane. Vader had a pretty good one over in New Japan many years ago. Big Van Vader. But I'm going to go with Kane in WWE. Rolando Martinez. CM Punk debut felt like Scott Hall's debut back WCW in 1996. just going back to Bulu's question again. Now, are you saying greatest debut ever? See, when I talk about Punk tonight, I'm talking about like a return. I don't really look at it as a debut, even though it is his AEW debut. But Kane, I can't really vote against Kane as far as like a wrestler debut, because to me it doesn't really get any better than that. Just the way that he debuted at that Hell in a Cell match of Bad Blood, you know, coming out in the middle of this great cage match between The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, two of the biggest stars in the business, and he rips a door off its hinges, he pile drives The Undertaker, and he kicks off what ended up being this long, like, 20-year run. Who knew that the Kane character would last that long? So I can't really vote against it. You know, some people say Chris Jericho, but I've always put Jericho at number two behind Kane. My mind hasn't changed. And no, little homie in the chat, Tito Ortiz in TNA, he doesn't... The August 1st warning does not count. That's on the other list. That's one of the worst debuts. Turtlehead. Get ready for banned Punk shirts at WWE shows. Abdul Rahman says he already ordered the pay-per-view. So they already got one by. And finally, the final Super Chat. Boy, you guys came out in full force tonight. Skywalker dropping $4.99. Is the Brock Lesnar guy All Elite now? Apparently he is. I saw him. I saw Frank the Clown without his makeup. In fact, Punk went over and hugged the clown. And there's Brock Lesnar guy in the shirt that he never washes, apparently. He's like Vader in his gear back in the day. I'm going to talk about that in This Week in History on Sunday. Vader would never wash his gear. That's one of the reasons Shawn Michaels didn't want to work with him. Anyway, Skywalker, thank you for the super chat, love. I appreciate it. Well, we are all caught up on your messages. And the one consistent thing that I have noticed from all of these messages is the fact that a lot of you guys are very excited about what you saw tonight. And to me, that is really the coolest thing about what we saw tonight, is the fact that there was a lot of genuine excitement and enthusiasm for this return, for this moment. AEW had a lot of goodwill that they would have squandered, I think, by not giving the people what they wanted. They did just that. It made for one of the more memorable moments in wrestling history, I'm sure, for Punk, for the people who were in the building tonight, and for all of us who are watching on TV. So I don't think it could have gone any better than it did, and it's got me all pumped up. I'm hoping SummerSlam tomorrow night can deliver some excitement. We got Roman Reigns against John Cena for the Universal Championship, and we've got Bianca Belair defending against Sasha Banks, hopefully. I've seen some doubt as to whether or not Sasha will be there. She wasn't on SmackDown tonight, but they were still promoting the match, so WWE certainly thinks it's still going to happen. We got a late super chat from Bulu. Who is the ugliest wrestler ever? Gene Snitsky. Gene Snitsky, a face only a mother could love, and even his mother went running in the other direction. And Khalid Adam, dropping $2. I wonder if CM Punk and Serena Deeb will tag again. I don't believe so. Abdul Rahman, how loud will Mr. Missionary be tomorrow night calling his spots? Well, they're in a stadium, but even in a stadium, you could still hear Cena calling spots. It's been a while since we've had John Cena loudly calling spots in the ring. So, if anything, it might be worse, because he's been out of the ring for so long, he might be a little rusty. So, yeah, Mr. Missionary might be calling some spots tomorrow night. But I am looking forward to seeing what match they put together there in the main event. I'm looking forward to Sasha and Bianca. And boy, you know, Edge and Rollins, I think they're going to have a very good match. And then, you know, you got RK-Bro challenging for the Raw Tag Team titles. And that's really the only matches I'm really excited for tomorrow night. Khalid Adam, Abdul Rahman, you are going to get the last word. I thank you for your super chats. Lakers Pat in the chat wants to know, am I ready for Hogan against Undertaker at WrestleMania? Don't you dare put that evil on me. Because you know that Hogan wants to have a final match in WWE. You know that. The last WWE match he had was against Randy Orton at SummerSlam. That was like 15 years ago. The last match he had was at a live event in Impact Wrestling. So you know that even at 68 or whatever he is now, 67, he's probably dying to get back in the ring and have one more match. Ric Flair is dying to get back in the ring and wrestle again. We may end up with Hogan against Flair. Can you imagine? Just think about what that looked like the last time they were in the ring together. And that was 10 years ago. Hogan Flair in 2021 is not a match that I think any of us need to sit through. Clag Daddy. Sorry, I'd already answered. Did you hear Jim Ross say Brock Lesnar's dad will be in Brock Anderson's corner on Wednesday during the Dynamite preview? Did he say Brock Lesnar? I did not hear that. Is that what he said? Is Brock Lesnar's father even alive? So he meant Arn Anderson, and he said Brock. Did he really say that? Did he really say Brock Lesnar's father is going to be in Brock Anderson's? Why? Just because he's named Brock? Here goes Jim Ross hitting the Moscow Mules again. Now, we love JR. All right, guys, listen, we went over 2 hours here. This was great sharing this moment with all of you. I think most of us are very excited. It's always good to have a show like this to get us in a good mood heading into what is going to be a very busy weekend. Follow me on Twitter. I'll be probably doing some live tweeting and going back and forth with you guys on Twitter. At Solomonster, you see my handle right there on the screen. I'm on Instagram, The Solomonster, trying to build that up since I neglected it for so long. So hit me up on there and follow me on Instagram. And if you have not already done so, please hit that like button, hit that sub button. And if you want to become a channel member, all you got to do is hit the join button down below. And it'll give you all the information on how to do that, what you get, the perks. Look at that. Look who popped up on our screen here. CM Punk is a fan of Solomonster Sounds Off. Look at that. See? Listen to CM Punk. This man knows what he's talking about. That was John the Baptist dropping a dollar here on the feed. All right, I'm going to get out of here so I can try to get some sleep before I get ready for the big SummerSlam day tomorrow. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you so much for all of your support tonight. This was a lot of fun. And I will see you guys, hopefully, even if you're not planning on watching SummerSlam, come on back. And I'm going to be live on YouTube once again tomorrow night for SummerSlam 2021. And then back with you Sunday for NXT TakeOver 36 coverage. Until then, take care, guys.